employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Hello, Fairbanks, and welcome to our Friday show of Problem Corner. You're listening. Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today's a Friday. It's sunny out. It's about time. I didn't say any extraordinary words before that. But it's finally getting nice out. Hopefully we hit 75 above this weekend. On Fridays, we like to do local things, and man, do I got something local for you. I got two hot blondes in the purple padded room with North Korean equipment. Ivy Corella, who's asking nurse, but she dragged her sister in kicking and screaming. Gwen Corella Mathis, how are you doing?
Just great and so happy to be here. Thank you very much.
How long are you in town for?
For the next week in Fairbanks, and then we go back to Anchorage to participate in more openings and celebrate my auntie's 90th birthday.
Now, we're going to talk about a book that you wrote, but first let's do your background. Besides meeting my brother Dana at a young age and you know, making him suffer through that event, and thank you for doing that. So in your family... children's hierarchy, oldest, second, third, youngest?
Well, 10 kids, I'm 5 to the top.
You're the middle kid.
We're 2 middle kids. Me and my brother Rusty are the middle kids.
Okay. And growing up, what was it like with 10 kids?
Everybody works.
Keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah. You know, you everyone helps. And things were always changing. You end up working young.
Yeah.
You know, to help to bring the family together.
Now, you started going to ICS. Then you graduated from Lathrop, I believe.
Yes.
Then what happened?
Well, I went from, you know, babysitting jobs, which were full-time paying jobs from the time I was 11 until I was 14. Then I ran a home daycare center out at the farm, taking care of my younger brothers and sisters.
Yeah, that's only 4 or 5 of them plus the neighborhood.
Plus about 35 other kids.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, when I turned 16, we had a great program with Lathrop that recommended responsible students to go to work for JCPenney's because it was one of the new department stores in town.
Yeah, that was.
Started out as Santa Claus's helper.
You know, I bought my first albums and 8-tracks there.
Yes.
I know.
Yes. You could get the best stuff at Penny's.
Yeah, then you go up to the second floor and they had the toy store. That was my Christmas. Okay, I got $20. I got to buy everyone something at Christmas. What can I afford? Exactly. Nothing, but I could stretch it.
Exactly. No, I went on to work there, and then I got married, and we started a business here in town. And then the boy I married was from Anchorage. His folks had a construction company, and they needed his help, so we moved to Anchorage. And then he died of cancer.
Oh.
So, but that's okay. It makes us what we are.
Mm-hmm.
2 years of being a widow, and I ended up marrying again. And then after that, we traveled the world following his company.
Good.
So
you wrote a book.
Yes.
An Alaskan Adventure.
Yes.
What inspired it originally? Before you decided to do it, what was nipping at you?
Well, you know, our family's been very successful here in Alaska, meaning they've prospered and they've grown. But we were at a 2008 family reunion that my sister Ivy and her husband were hosting out at our old family farm on the Steese Highway. And I realized our father had passed, and one of his youngest sisters had come up from Nebraska to visit with us. And we were looking around, and I realized that all these new kids running around, we were losing a significant number of our adult family members, the ones that talked to us about this wonderful place we lived in and all these grand adventures that they went on to get here. And I realized they would never know these people, and they would never know the Alaska we grew up in unless those stories were written down. And I happened to say that out loud to my Aunt Millie.
You screwed up.
Yeah. Because in 2010, I got boxes and boxes of research from Sister Margaret Mary, who was a Benedictine nun and one of our cousins. Her speciality was genealogy. And she had done all of this research, and then come to find out our dad had been working with her for about 30 years on his own research for the family. Ivy discovers a box after our father dies. She discovers a box of his old papers. Another batch of stuff comes to me. So by 2010, I had an accumulation of about 30 years of their combined research on the family. And Aunt Millie said, "Didn't you say you wanted to write this story? Well, here you go."
What year was that?
2010. It started in 2008. And by 2010, I had stacks and stacks of material to go through. At the time, I was the global director of marketing for a large Japanese firm that made hardware, software, and systems development. So it took me about 5 years of collating all that information that they had sent me. And I realized once I got it into chronological order, I had to go back and verify all the facts, because you're looking at old records that were handwritten, and so lots of things could be misinterpreted.
So this has been almost a 20-year adventure.
Yes. I'm coming up on 18 years. After I collated that information, I realized there was still a lot of holes in the research.
Yeah.
I couldn't even create a total timeline.
You weren't doing this, like you said, you were working for a Japanese company.
And traveling the world at the same time.
And so this wasn't full-time. You know, this was when you could sneak a little bit here, a little bit there.
And that took 5 years just to organize that part of the research. But then my husband's career took him to Mexico to run the Patron Tequila Distributor.
And this book is about your parents.
Yes. It was, I originally sat down to write their stories of coming to Alaska.
They met in, Nebraska?
Yes. They met in college, junior college. He got early enlistment.
He got lucky.
Yes, he
did. I mean, he was very fortunate.
No, he did. He did.
Sorry for jumping in there.
Oh, no, no. But they met in college, but then he went into the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And they served until the war was over, he and his best friend.
You know, and they had a plan. You know, they promised that him and his best friend, they promised their parents that they'd put one semester in at school.
Oh, yeah.
and then we'll go into the Marine Corps, and the parents are going, hopefully they get sidetracked without wanting to go into the Marine Corps. In steps your mom. It's there, but not enough to sidetrack.
Exactly.
She failed.
Exactly.
Sorry for throwing that out there.
No, no, no. It's absolutely true. That the life twists and turns. But she had her own agenda, too. She decided that she was going to graduate college before she wore an engagement ring or got married.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Gwen Corella Mathis, accompanied by her wonderful sister, Ivy Corella Hollenrick, who does our Ask a Nurse program. We're describing the adventure of their parents in getting to Fairbanks, Alaska, and a few other things. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. Lori Prox here with David Brady of Valdez, Alaska. You went out halibut fishing, caught a 94.4-pound halibut. You said it was an amazing day. So I wanted to get, and you were jigging. So tell me a little bit about the strategy and what you learned in terms of for reeling in a big fish like that.
So dropped this big pink mermaid jig down to the ground, or down to the bottom, and slow jigged it. And then once it bit, set the hook as hard as he can. And it's just kind of slow and steady, not overreacting, and the fish will cooperate pretty well. He came up pretty quick.
And it sounds like you did very well on your boat in terms of halibut and other fish. So can you outline for us what else you caught?
So we caught our limit. There were five of us on the boat that were fishing. We had our limit by 2:30, and that was with halibut and with rockfish. We did catch one Pacific cod. We caught a few lingcod, but they're not in season right now, so we let those go. But the rockfish were, when we drifted over the spot that they were, it was just one fish or another, and fish all over the deck, just unhooking them and dropping back down, catching another one. It was a fishing frenzy for a few minutes.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a rental boat and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, Fish Central can process your fish too. Book with Fish Central and get 10% off your processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 907-835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Chance for storms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Highs level off around 74. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. 50 tonight, chance for storms. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, slight chance for storms. High of 80. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Get out your air conditioners. We're getting a high of 80 tomorrow. There is a God. It's about time. But having the studio here with me, Gwen Corella Mathis, talking about her parents' journey, Alaska Dreams. Now, now, this is what got me more than anything. Hi, Mom, we're going to Alaska. Goodbye. I mean, yeah, well, everyone calls up at the border. I'm going to, you know, and we'll talk to you when we get there. You know, and she thought it was April Fool's Day.
Yes.
Now, I said, now you're on your own.
Well, what it was is there was a real history in that household of their dad pulling
Pranks.
Yeah. April Fool jokes. So at first she started to react when they had promised that they each other that they would call from the border before they left the country. And they had to warn them that they wouldn't be able to be in touch with them for a while. So when Grandma Corella answered the phone, she recognized her son's voice.
Yeah.
And he started on this blah blah blah, we're getting ready to leave the country, we thought we'd tell you, and we're, you know. And she's panicking at first, but then, oh, it's April Fool's. Okay, I'll play along with this joke. So she goes, okay, so how long do you think it's going to take you to get to Alaska and back? And he goes, well, Mom, we really don't know, but we'll let you know when we get there. Okay, goodbye.
That was it.
And she went into a meltdown. oh my God, my children are going to the end of the earth.
And, you know, Fairbanks, we talked about this earlier before we came on the air, and I always say the conversations we have before we get on the air, then I had to stop and limit it because I realized, you know, I'm talking too much about it. But people coming up to Alaska, just right, you know, many portions of that road were barely done, if at all. And it was like going across the Oregon Trail in a covered wagon with that same thought of pioneers coming up, the new world, the new life, the adventure of a lifetime, hence Alaskan Adventures.
Exactly. And not knowing what was going to be around the corner. And they really did not think this trip out. And halfway through it, they were thinking, man, if I'd have known what I knew now, I might not have been so quick to jump.
Well, we all think about that. You know?
Well, the big kicker, I mean, they really honestly believe they were overthinking it when they figured that it would take them 3 weeks to get to Alaska and then an equal trip back.
Yeah.
Instead of 3 months.
Correct.
Hello. And my name is Mr. and Ms. Corella, and I'm going to make it to Alaska in 3 weeks or bust.
Well, they get a month and a half into this trip, and they are way past the point of return.
Yeah.
No return. And there were two other people along, Andy's brother, Charlie, and his best friend, Chauncey. Those two were the only two that realized that Mom wasn't keeping food down, and she was acting weird. And so they corner their Andy, and they say, well, what's wrong with Betty? They say, oh, well, nothing's wrong with Betty, and if she's a smart girl. If something's wrong, she would tell me. Well, they were in Watson Lake, and they said, listen, there's a doctor here, and after this, there's nothing. So we should get her in. Well, she hears this, and they're kind of having an argument over it. She finally has to fess up that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering, why, of course, I'm going to Alaska, and I'm knocked up.
Well,
what
now,
an adventure.
Now, on top of all the rest of the complication of being in the wilderness, living out of, I mean, basically camping out on the ground, because they're in a 1937 Pontiac. 10-year-old car with a two-wheeled cart with a canvas cover. That's all they have with them. And now the boys are just freaking out because she's going to be a mom. And what are we going to do? And she won't let them turn back. She goes, I'm not being left behind. I'm not being left out. Get your butts going. Let's go. But it was another month and a half before they actually got into Fairbanks. 3 months on the road.
Why did they choose Fairbanks?
Because Charlie, Andy's brother, had been stationed at LAD Air Force Base.
Okay.
And so when he talked to them and wrote letters to them all during the war mm-hmm. years, they had this amazing image of Alaska in their mind. But I think they were thinking it was a much tamer Alaska than what they discovered on the road.
Yeah, well, yeah. I would say so.
So, and him, he had to swallow a lot of pride because he realized sitting as a flight engineer on an aircraft was nothing like driving over the land.
Yeah.
And it was a big eye-opener for all of them. By the time they got, well, and then they get to Sulcha.
Mm-hmm.
The Tanana has been flooding. There was glacier silt all over the road, so thick that a lot of times even the military trucks from Richardson would have to be towed back to base. There was an old fella named he and his wife owned the Sulcha Lodge, and the military would hire him with his wagon and mules when the trucks got stuck, the military trucks got stuck.
Pulling it out the old-fashioned way.
Correct. So when the Corellas got there with their Pontiac, he went out there and said, boys, I checked the river. You're not driving into Fairbanks. Not in this. They ended up getting towed by a mule team the last 40 miles into town. And then...
That's what you call four-wheel drive.
He sent him to the Mecca Bar to get a burger because it was like in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
and they hear a gun. There's a gunfight on Second Avenue, and the bar keeps put his hand on Dad's shoulder because they've been in the military. Mm-hmm. They knew what gunfire sounded mm-hmm. like, and they started to get up, and he put his hand on Dad's and said, "Son, sit down." He said, "That business will take care of itself. In a little while, it'll all be okay, and then you can be on your way."
First night.
Needless to say, they made an agreement they were not telling their parents what they went through.
That sounds like all of us kids.
Oh, isn't it true?
Yeah.
Yeah, So when they got here, it was late. They only had, it was like the end of July. They only had August, and they didn't have, the money. They were out of money.
Mm-hmm. Most people are when they get up here.
Exactly.
So tell me something that they experience it like everyone else.
Well, Father Murphy from the little Catholic church.
I remember him well.
He says, I think you better go visit Samson's Hardware because you definitely better get ready for winter. And they were looking like, it's only September. They're from Nebraska. So they're thinking August, September, October, all harvesting season. And he goes, no, you better be ready for snow the 1st of September. And they were just, they couldn't believe it. Well, they were out of money, so they decided, okay, we need a cheap place to live, at least until we get our feet on the ground and figure out what we're going to do. They got recommendations to go to Tent City.
Ooh.
And which they were, they could rent a tent, an old military tent that was like for officers' tents,
mm-hmm.
that had the stacks, the potbelly stoves and the insulated roofs and the stack that went up through the ceiling and the insulated floors and doors. They could rent it for $25 a month. But they didn't tell Betty. So now the three boys think, oh, we're going to be on a great adventure. We're going to get to live in a tent in Alaska. The pregnant lady shows up and they go, surprise, don't you like our house? I will not raise my children in a tent.
Said every pregnant mom coming into Fairbanks.
So before winter.
But that was her personality.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm not going to say forceful, but forceful.
Oh, no, she was.
Yeah.
She didn't like to be coddled. She didn't like to make. She didn't like boys thinking she couldn't keep up with them, and she pretty much proved
sounds,
that.
You know, it sounds like that gene pool has been passed down.
Yeah, our husbands think so too.
I'm sure.
Well, there was another thing that was very cool about the military's influence over Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that they had these, you know, after the war, they had a lot of Quonset huts that had been set up for housing, and much of it, a lot of it off base, that was rentable.
Yeah.
And with Dad and Charlie and the three boys all being vets, they knew they had contacts at LAD, which is now
Fort Wainwright.
Fort Wainwright, who said, "I'll give you a great deal." They rented a Quonset hut for $20 a month, plus electric and water. And it was, got them through the winter, where they saw ice for the first time growing 3 inches on the inside of the window.
Their welcoming committee.
So it was quite, and then Charlie, who intended to stay in Alaska, found out that if he went back and got a civil engineering degree, he could come back to Alaska later and get any job that he wanted because of his military training. And of course, we were still a territory then.
Okay. Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. I got some The Doors, Peace Frog, whatever bumper music that sounds like. Then we have some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather. Remember, it's going to be 80 above this weekend. We got through the 60s, and we're passing the 70s going into the 80s. And we'll be back after these messages. Sounds like my music likes, doesn't it?
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
News now, John Saucier, shooter in Midland, Texas, confirmed dead after killing at least one person, injuring nine others, Midland's mayor, Lori Blong.
I want to make sure that you understand that this is an all hands on deck. All of our community responders are participating in addressing the situation right now, and we're committed to staying in that shape until we have everything addressed and fully wrapped up.
Elon Musk owns SpaceX company went public today. The stock trading around $170 right now.
We want to be able to take anyone who wants to go to the moon, anyone who wants to go to Mars, or anywhere in the solar system, and maybe beyond the solar system at some point. We want to be able to take you there. Not just a few astronauts. I mean you. Literally you.
The sound courtesy of NASDAQ. Recent filing shows SpaceX lost $2.6 billion from operations. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska Public Media reports that U.S. Senate candidate Dan Sullivan from Petersburg says a state investigation into his bid for office is baseless and inappropriate. It's a little bit chilling in a way, in some ways, that they would go after somebody like me, he said in an interview Wednesday afternoon. The candidate shares a name and Republican Party designation with Alaska's incumbent senator, whom he's running against. That kicked off a lot of Republican complaints and the state's investigation. Senator Dan Sullivan has accused the challenger of colluding with Democrats to intentionally confuse voters. Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom, the state's top election official, announced Monday that the state was opening an investigation into the candidate. I'm troubled by the allegation that you filed for office in coordination with another campaign with the intention of confusing Alaskan voters in a way that will benefit one candidate over another, she said in a letter addressed to the challenger. The candidate responded forcefully by letter on Wednesday, saying Dahlstrom had provided no evidence whatsoever to back up her allegation, which he says is false.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Here's Ralph Seekins.
Ford has a special program where their employees can buy a brand new Ford or Lincoln for a whole lot less than any Ford dealership pays. What a deal. Right now, for a limited time, Ford is giving you the exact same price. You can save up to $9,000 below the MSRP. Plus, great Ford credit finance plans as low as 2.9%, the best deal ever. And you can get it for your family right now, right here at Seekins Ford Lincoln, and I'll see you here.
Good food, cold drinks, live music? That's an Ivory Jack's kind of night. Thursday, June 18th, head to Ivory Jack's for music, dinner, and drinks featuring Justin Boots live starting at 7 p.m. Whether you're stopping in for a great meal, meeting friends for drinks, or kicking back to live local music, you'll find it in the heart of the Goldstream Valley, the true Alaskan atmosphere. Great food, and of course, free parking make Ivory Jack's a good time destination. Join everyone out there for an Ivory Jack's kind of night.
I'm Mary Peltola. I grew up in three tiny villages before we moved to the big city, Bethel. Right now, there are families in that region hauling jerry jugs of fuel because they can't afford a delivery. It's not just that politicians in DC don't care that we're paying $10 a gallon for diesel in rural Alaska. They don't even believe us. Overpriced fuel, overpriced food, overpriced ammo. The politicians rigging our economy have made life in Alaska unrecognizable. But I know this in my bones. There's no group of people more ready to save ourselves than Alaskans. It's why I'm running to bring our voices to the U.S. Senate, to bring down grocery costs, save our fisheries, lower energy prices, and build new housing Alaskans can afford. I approve this message because it's time to show D.C. what Alaska First looks like.
Paid for by Alaskans for Mary.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prus here, and I have Gwen Corella Mathis in the studio with me talking about a book she wrote, Alaska Dreams, and her sister Ivy, who's keeping her on the straight and narrow a little bit here once in a while. Because Ivy's been in here before. She's an experienced purple padded room person. So they're realizing that in the early 50s, being a vet in Alaska means something.
Absolutely. The services, Alaska wouldn't be the Alaska it is today without their without all the branches of the service that have been here.
And Fairbanks has probably the closest relationship, I think, anywhere in the United States with our military and our retired military.
Absolutely. They're highly respected. Their knowledge is amazing. The military services have very much been assistance to the people who actually chose to come here in a civilian capacity, both in service, such as when I was in junior high school. Mm-hmm. Our judo instructors were from the Air Force Base.
Mr. Donathan.
Jonas Edwards.
Jonas Edwards, that's after him. Yeah.
And
that's where I met you all. You guys used to beat me up. Still haven't recovered from that.
I was never defeated in Rondori.
Oh. You guys ganged up on me.
Well, you know, somebody's got to do
You're 4 years older than me.
Well, you know.
Well, you saw what you did to Dana.
Well.
Your name's not Gwen, it's Pitbull.
Maybe, when necessary. No, but anyway, some of the other services were that after the World War II was over, they'd stockpiled so much military supplies here to support the military bases that it was too expensive to ship it back. So they started selling it off to the local businesses.
Yeah.
And those businesses made it available to the Fairbanks community and the outlying communities, the miners. They'd never have been able to afford that kind of quality equipment had they not been able to get
military surplus. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, Mom and Dad wouldn't have survived their first year in Fairbanks without the old military
surplus.
Clothing surplus that actually was built for this kind of weather up here. So then we grew up eating a lot of sea rations. And we thought that was normal food until we realized other people didn't even know what they were.
You know, I still have horrible dreams. Not Alaskan dreams, but I guess it's an Alaskan dream about all the canned vegetables my mom made me eat.
I know.
Oh, you know, Del Monte.
What, you mean green beans aren't supposed to be a mushroom?
I hate green beans. I will not eat green beans. I don't even like fresh green beans. I have, even though they're not canned, the nightmare goes on.
What about milk then?
Hey, that was a step up.
Powdered milk.
It was a step up from carnation that had all the lumps in it.
Yeah. But that's the way we grew up.
We survived.
Yeah, that's the way we grew up. Fresh was add water.
That's when milkmen figured out how to keep it from being.
And I had that little kid on the front that we all wanted to beat up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the first time in 1964 was the first time I think my brothers and sisters and I ever tasted what real milk was supposed to taste like.
Yeah, and for us, the Creamer's Dairy.
Yes.
They delivered milk, and we started getting delivered milk. Then once a month, we would get the chocolate milk. If we were good, we'd get the chocolate milk, and that was a fight. I mean, that right there was a fight, the chocolate milk from Creamer's Dairy.
Wow.
And then, the fudgesicle, oh, my God. Anyway, it's a fun way to grow up.
It's actually a pretty amazing thing that they actually were able to keep a herd of dairy cows. When we had our horses out on the Steese Highway growing up, it took 2 ton of hay per horse to get them through the winter.
Yeah.
So can you imagine what it took to keep a herd of dairy cows?
We tried to raise a couple, and we couldn't afford to feed them over the winter.
So let's jump into kids that are being produced.
Okay. Well, there was the first year after Kathy was born in October of 1949, that was who she was pregnant with on the way up, they really decided, we want to stay. We want to see if we can make a go of it here. But they needed work, so.
The family starts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Dad got a job at NC Company. Mom got a job at Santa Systems. Do you remember Santa Systems?
No.
It was a dry cleaning company. here in town.
Okay.
And Chauncey drove taxi cab, and they pulled their money. He still lived at Tent City. They still lived in the Quonset hut. But come summer, they were thinking, what can we do to make more money? Because clearly the wages per hour then was barely paying for the necessities. So by happen chance, he was standing to pick up mail at the U.S. Post Office here. Now, at that time, since it was still a territory, there were no federal services.
Mm-hmm.
The military made sure mail got dropped off at the airports at major airports.
Mm-hmm.
And then those that had to get from the airport to a distribution center. And we had one federally funded building, from the government. And mm-hmm. that was the one right down there on Cushman. It was the jailhouse, the courthouse,
the post office.
The post office.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the telegraph service was in there too for sending wires.
yeah.
So I mean anything like that. So he happened to be waiting in line and heard some guys talking about mail contracts. They went, mail contracts? So by the time they were done with their conversation, he got up to the front and the postmistress, he says, can you tell me about those mail contracts? And she just like gave him the whole skinny. And so all you had to do is you had to apply to the military liaison to get one of these contracts. And they won a military contract for hauling mail between the airport and the post office. And they started flying saucer delivery.
Ah.
That was their mail service. So that... Go ahead.
This was right after a little thing in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Flying saucer delivery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of a play on delivery.
Yeah.
Express mail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah. All of that. Now, there is something to that. They did happen to see a UFO, but they never admitted it. He and my dad and his buddy were out hunting. Now, they'd studied journalism in college.
Mm-hmm.
And they always thought that it would be neat. I mean, there was so much Roswell stuff in the newspaper, 49 and all through the early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But when they came home from that hunting trip, having experienced
something
they didn't know what it was, but they didn't dare tell anybody because they thought they would be marked as nutbags. So they happened to be reading the paper, and Dad says, gosh, I really wish we could tie this into something for our business. And Mom came up with the idea. She instantly saw it in her head. Well, flying saucer delivery. We've been looking for a hook that would make people remember our service. I said, how better to do it than to have something
that's started.
Saturated in the newspapers all the time? And Dad Chauncey goes, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, Betty. And that's when it was born.
Okay.
But it was so exciting, but come again. Now, Dad realized that they hated to waste money on rent. So they were, they bought a piece of property in Dawson, and there was the beginnings of a cabin there. And they built that cabin.
On Dawson Street, yeah.
On Dawson Street. And it didn't have water. It didn't have electricity. It didn't have any kind of regulated heat. And they were using an outhouse, and she found out she was pregnant again. Now, it was okay for the toddler because Kathy was a pretty, pretty robust little girl by that time. But she knew that Dad knew that they couldn't have an infant in that environment. And so Mom was forced to go out to Nebraska to have the baby because his mother was a nurse and mm-hmm. she was still living out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went back to Nebraska to have the baby. And they were determined that he would never have to be separated from his family again. And that's what inspired them to go on and build a house late during the next spring, so that after she came home with the babies, by fall they would have a house closed in, or a piece of a house closed in,
yeah,
that they could live in through the winter with running water, electricity, and a toilet inside.
Okay. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Slip into the brand new Bridgestone Dueler ATSN all-terrain tire from GCR. Elevate your year-round driving experience. Bridgestone Dueler ATSN delivers uncompromising traction through snow, ice, water, and gravel. Whatever Alaska's roads throw your way, the Bridgestone Dueler ATSN is designed to dominate off-road performance on your light truck, SUV, and CUV while offering a remarkably quiet ride for your everyday driving. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
With summertime comes those epic family adventures. Last thing you need are car troubles leaving you on the side of the highway, so make sure everything is running smoothly. Just swing your car or truck by Pearson Auto. From your AC to your radiator, to your fluid levels, belts, and battery, crew at Pearson's will make sure your next summer adventure doesn't come with any surprises. Well, almost no surprises. That's Pearson Auto off the Rich Highway and on Airport across from Pikes. Pearson Automotive, your dealership alternative.
Do you have hip pain or know someone who does? Maybe you've struggled to find answers for that severe pain. McKinley Orthopedics Sports Medicine and Spine, they provide complete hip care. For younger, active patients, they offer regenerative medicine including PRP, stem cell therapy, and minimally invasive hip arthroscopy. And if you need a hip replacement, their state-of-the-art technology is number one. If you are struggling with hip pain, come to the hip experts. Visit McKinleyOrtho.com.
It's a good time for a break and a good time to discover the wild beauty of McLaren River Lodge. Nestled along the scenic Denali Highway, McLaren River Lodge is your base camp for adventure, fishing, hiking, wildlife viewing, or just relaxing by the river. Unplug, unwind, and breathe in that fresh Alaskan air. McLaren River Lodge offers cozy cabins, hearty meals, and views you won't forget. Make your getaway one to remember at McLaren River Lodge. Book online at McLarenRiverLodge.com.
KFAR weather.
Chance of thunderstorms today. Otherwise, more clouds than sun. Highs level off around 74. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of thunderstorms tonight. Lows around 50. Mainly clear. Slight chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. High of 80. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I've just witnessed Ivy helping Gwen with our North Korean equipment. Oh, yeah. But, you know, we don't have much time, so we have to jump around here a little bit. And the passing of your mom.
Yes, 1973.
No.
Oh, excuse me, 1963.
Because that's when the Alaskan adventure stops and sort of segues into your next book.
Correct. As life does, it changes without notice and obviously sometimes with really serious consequences. It was a single man with 9 children, and it was they almost took us away in court. Because they didn't think a single man could take care of that many children on their own after mom died.
Yeah.
And yet our family priest and parish stepped in, really helped. Andy's parents moved to Alaska in 1958, following him after their own 8 kids were raised. And his mother was a registered nurse, and she was working for St. Joseph's Hospital. And his dad was helping him with flying saucer delivery. And so, with Father Murphy's help, they were able to get the two babies, because mom died 3 days. My youngest brother was born 3 days before my mother died. So we had a 1-year-old and a 3-day-old. But the court considered grandma and grandpa qualified after raising eight of their own children to take care of the babies who live right across the street.
You think so?
Yeah. Father Murphy had some pretty powerful reasons for keeping the family together.
Yeah.
And then another couple within the parish volunteered to take the next two, which was Ivy and my little brother Rusty. And so the rest of us were old enough and we're already in ICS and helping at home.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad was able to keep us together. And so he was relieved that this was a much more equitable solution than having us taken away and put in homes. So when he asked the judge, he says, when do you see us getting my family back together? And he says, Mr. Corelli, he says, it takes two parents. You're going to have to get remarried. Well, telling that to a man who's got a broken heart after his wife is gone, the love of his life, that didn't feel like much of a solution.
No.
However, as God works many miracles, one of the things that the flying saucer delivery required us to do was, you know how the roads up here just beat trucks up? Well, the delivery trucks would only last 2 years, and to get any kind of trade-in on them, you had to turn them in every 2 years. So they had two trucks, and they alternated going out to the States to pick up a new truck because they could get a good deal in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But also, right off a trip to go see the family in Nebraska. So when it was Mom's turn to get a truck, she often did presentations at the VFW clubs and those types of places to offset the cost of the gas. Well, it just so happens that there was a woman who attended one of her sessions in Minnesota and had written a letter to Dad. And through that letter, believe it or not, he met our new mom and the woman that could be a wife to him a year later.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And their paths never would have crossed had it not been for that event.
So your mom had the initial meeting with your next mom.
Yes. Hmm. Exactly.
Let's look at the book in general.
Okay.
When did you start writing it?
I'd say that I actually...
You know, it's not easy talking about your mom and passing and everything.
Well...
But let's get back to the book.
Okay. I sat down seriously and began writing in 2019. But realized as I wanted to write... I started writing Alaskan Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And then realized so many of the references that I made to it, I had to keep explaining, because I needed more backstory. And then I realized I had all the information I needed to write the history that would make this make sense. So the only problem was, as I was writing, I had to keep going back farther and farther and farther.
You know what I like most about it wasn't the writing of the book. You mentioning your family and the completion of all the information.
Yes.
The editing.
Yes.
Here I'm reading about all the Corellas again.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, it's not a project for the faint of heart, let me tell you that.
You better be long-winded.
And what she you better is. Be is, watch it, sis.
Hot darn, it's a cat fight.
And you can't quit.
No.
And if you're going to do it right.
And it's family.
Yes. So you have to be accurate.
And you're thinking about yourself perfection because it's your family.
Well, and I'll let you in on something that made it even harder. I'm dyslexic.
So am I. A little bit.
And
I always think I have an extra comma in my paycheck.
Don't we all wish? No, but luckily with technology the way it is today, I have heard this manuscript, every one of them, probably three or four times I've listened to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have editors, and you have to have editors that tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And it has become a project of the heart. And believe it or not, everyone who's read it has fallen in love with it.
When did you realize that there's going to be volumes or, you know, when did you say to yourself, oh my God, there's going to be, you know, number two and three.
As I was writing the history, realizing I had to keep going further back, there were times when I actually hung my head and said, oh my God, this is never going to end. But when you reach that and realize, it makes everything so much clearer, so much more of
you can give more detail.
Yes, without bogging the reader down.
Yeah.
And you know the other surprise was? My audience that I was aiming at is the children of the future of our own family.
Yeah.
Which
Here
is
you go.
Why I included hundreds of pictures, mm-hmm. not just of family, but telephones.
How does a person get the book?
Oh, it's up on Amazon. It's available through Barnes & Noble. It's hardback, softback, and ebook. So Barnes & you can order
Alaskan ebooks. Alaskan Adventures.
Alaskan Dreams.
I'm sorry, Alaskan Dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
A Bohemian Dream, American Dreams, and Alaskan Dreams is the one that just went up in November.
Yeah, that's what I have.
So those three are all available at now. And then the final book, which is Unexpected Dreams, which is talks a lot about what we just was mentioning,
yeah,
will be available in July. It's in formatting right now. It's 800 pages, and there's over 900 pages.
Yeah, you know, you stick your toe into the lake, and you find out you're up to your neck.
I got to tell you, Ivy just reminded me of something.
She does that with me too.
Outside of the fact that this is an incredible story about real people,
mm-hmm.
it's the fact that our father's dream was to preserve our family story.
Yeah.
And it is now in the Library of Congress.
Wow.
And they consider it authentic immigrant U.S. history.
Yeah. Where's the name Corella from?
Believe it or not, we are 100% Bohemian on my grandfather's side.
Mm-hmm.
But the name Corella is Greek.
That is so American.
I'm not sure I can tell you what my grandfather said about that, but I did ask him how an old bohunk got a Greek name, and he had his own ideas about how
I'm Italian
happened.
With a German name.
There you go. Well, I'm sure you guys have that kind of same explanation in your
family. Everyone asks me why I tan so much, and I don't want to say, well, my dad, the German-Irish, has the skin tone, but my mom, the Italian, was blue-eyed and burnt. You know, they're just not going to believe that.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, our parents, the old fellas in our families have a tendency to be a little more graphic about how they explain those discrepancies.
I know. We have about a minute left, Gwen. I want to thank Ivy for putting this together. And as she's quality, and she still allows me to be around.
Well, listen, we're having an event tomorrow at the Moose Lodge. It's a book signing.
What time?
At 3 to 6. Oh, sorry. At 3 to 6. Not only are we having a book signing and talking about this, but Ivy is being inducted, or rather, Ivy and Ray are being recognized as Alaskan pioneers. We are going to get to honor 7 veterans with a Quilt of Valor ceremony. And then we are also doing doing presentations. Ivy and Ray are going to accept the donations of a set of these books to both the Rasmussen Library at the university and our public library here in Fairbanks. We have been donating those books up to this time, so every year, every time a new one comes out, we put them in, but they were on vacation, so they couldn't be with us.
Gwen, thank you very much for being on the show. Ivy, thank you very much for being on the show, and guess what? You're both smiling. Fairbanks, I will see you on Monday.
Thank you, David. Yep.
News and conversation. KF